Dan, it's good to have you all with us today. We are from up north, and today we are going to phone down south to Alex Putney, who joins us to discuss the mysterious, strange sounds that you most likely have come across. These have been heard, recorded, videotaped, recorded, and probably emulated from all over the world. There are many new ones coming in all the time, and it's practically impossible to keep up with them all, but it's a fascinating phenomenon. It's the rainy season down in Ecuador, and after a few failed attempts over Skype, we finally hooked up over cell phone. And it's not the best connection, but we nonetheless take the opportunity to connect once again with Alex to get his take on the latest developments pertaining to worldwide anomalies. A little bit later in the hour, we are going to discuss the spontaneous outbreaks of fires on cars and motorcycles recently reported in Vietnam, and also his own UFO sighting of a plasma ship just a few days ago, right over the area in La Mana, where he is at. Stay with us for much more. Right, all the way down from Ecuador, it's great to have you back with us once more on Red Eyes Radio. Alex Putney, how are you today?
Doing wonderfully and enjoying this new year and all kinds of enthusiasm bubbling everywhere, it seems like.
That's right. It's been an exciting start of the year. Lots of things happening as usual, of course, but things are heating up. And what we're going to discuss here today, obviously, is the weird, strange, anomalous sounds that have been reported pretty much worldwide. This has been kicked into a frenzy now in the last month here of January 2012. But it all seems to kind of harken back to this particular latest one, anyway, back to Ukraine back in 2011, in August specifically. But you heard the sounds first as well. What was your first impression when you heard this, Alex, back in August?
Well, I definitely noticed a difference from what the low frequency perception that I tend to have when I'm at sacred sites or at my home now in La Mana, which is more of a low droning rumbling sound, which, you know, if I put my ear to my pillow, for example, it almost feels like the pillow is emanating that same rumbling. It seems like it's in the objects in the room. Whereas the sounds in the Kiev recording seem to be more like some giant metallic whale rolling over and moaning somewhere, you know, in the distance, which was a definitely new experience for me. I haven't heard that. But certainly it falls into the same category of extra-low or ultra-low frequency sounds that, you know, can have so many different manifestations.
That's right. We've had the BBC report a while back, a few years ago, I think starting around 2006 or 2007, maybe even earlier, actually, something they called the hum. That really seemed to peak around 2008, 2009, and just a couple of weeks ago, actually, there was another article released about a tiny village in the UK that were suffering now, the latest victim, if you will, of this low hum. But again, as you say, Alex, this is a distinctly different sound, and I think that this particular one that we're going to talk about first here is something completely separate. But why don't we do this in case there is somebody out there who actually haven't heard the particular one that we're talking about here yet, because this is going to be echoing in many of the other clips I want to play to you as well, Alex, and we can kind of, I guess, analyze it a little bit here. But let me just play this first, and let me cue this up here and see what people think about it, okay? So stay with me here. Okay, there we go. That's basically just an excerpt from that, though, because the whole video in total, the first one that was uploaded, goes for about, I think, 11 minutes. So it's actually fairly long, this whole sequence. But I tried to take this little portion here because there is a one kind of distinct sound in there as well that people might recognize later on. But it goes for 11 minutes, and just, you know, out through the gates, if you will, then, Alex, what do you think it could be? Is it, are we talking about a synthesizer? Is it a fake sound? Or maybe it actually is it's a man-made sound, but it's still being broadcasted or transmitted in some way over some of these areas that have been reporting it. What do you think, Alex?
Well, I do think that it is a sound that is in the whole environment, and I think that recording is authentic. And I think there are many like it which are authentic, although some of them are not. But that recording to me does seem to be, the term resonance is what I use in my work to describe these sound wave types, because it's not simply one source. You can't pin it down on one source, and that's why so many people have so much confusion about this. And I do in a lot of my work reference solar flare activity, and in this case we have all kinds of activity. We had, let's see, on the day after the solstice this year, December 22nd, we had an upswing and I think an M-class flare. And then on the 22nd, a month later, on the 22nd of February, excuse me, January, we had another almost X-class flare. So I think these events have, you know, partially are contributing energy because the CMEs hit the Earth and our pyramids and the lithosphere itself and the atmosphere is reverberating from that impact. And that can be even measured as ground currents, as has been done in Lauvvik, Norway. But these could also be affected by U.S. government warfare, which I've talked about in various interviews. And this involves so-called radar platforms, which are actually emitting low-frequency sounds and focusing them into specific points in the upper atmosphere. And so this, I believe, resonance, the term resonance really applies here, because these are influences coming from the sun, which can be amplified by man-made technologies, both ancient ones and the pyramids, as well as some government warfare tactics, which involve focusing sound for earthquakes and all kinds of nefarious activity that we've seen possibly in Haiti, and I've mentioned also in Sendai, Japan.
That's right. Do you think that what we might be hearing here is a side effect of something else? It might even be, again, if this is the real deal, it might be something which is actually just an unexpected effect for whatever reason, if it is it's connected to advanced weaponry, scalar weaponry, or HARP-type technology, Alex?
Well, I think it could be that, although my intuition is that it's a fairly known, well-known technology, fairly well-computerized system that's done with global, some mobile platforms as well, and I've written my latest article about the sea-based X-band radar platforms, which are in fact mobile HARP platforms, which use large radomes to hide the fact that they are giant arrays which are directionally focused into the sky. And in that article I've recently produced, it goes into detail about how the Fukushima event had recording from satellite of plasma that formed over the epicenter and rolled basically from a north to south direction over the earthquake epicenter in the days of the earthquake. And that data is also supported by video that's been shot in Indonesia and other places around the world where plasma clouds have been videotaped that are phenomenally, seen as billowing out of the top of thunderheads and forming, you know, beautiful rainbow arcs just in a circle, in a circular area in the sky. So these have been videotaped, and now satellites have recorded their interactions with the mega earthquake and tsunami that happened. So I think there's definitely a correlation that's being hidden from the public, and I think these sounds are a byproduct of the interaction of solar activity with the HARP activity that we've seen globally on the rise over the years.
There's been a frenzy around this. Obviously, people are screaming at the top of their lungs, well, some of them anyway. It's the trumpets of revelation and it's the apocalypse, and I think we have so many different issues going on here all at once, Alex. I think we have a real natural phenomena involved in this. We have potentially a real but man-made phenomena and effect in all of this, and then I personally do believe that we have a copycat effect as well, basically, because as we begin to listen to some of the other sounds here a little bit later, we could distinctly hear that they are related, if not even just straight copies of the original Ukrainian clip. And I think this obviously muddies the water, and there's a lot of stuff going on here. But the copycat effect, though, Alex, we can't, you know, a video like this goes viral, millions of hits, and then, of course, we have everyone who just want to make a joke about it or even just, you know, get millions of hits on their own YouTube channel, basically, does the same thing and just copies the audio of this original clip, added to their own footage, which is shot in a similar kind of way, looking up in the sky. So it does muddy the water, and I think we do have a copycat effect, if you will, in all this, too, Alex. What do you think?
Well, I think it certainly benefits big media, you know, that happening. And so I think there's probably a concerted effort to confuse all of the reporting on this because, you know, a few years ago, I was the only person creating maps that were showing different acoustic locations and events and mapping them globally. And now we have all kinds of people and websites around the world trying to map these different locations. And what we see when we look at these maps is clusters and regions where this is happening more frequently or more noticeably than other places. And I've already mapped all these places out, and it's all coming true according to my, you know, basically what would seem to be prophecy, but it's actually physics. And the locations of these places and the physics of these locations is connected with the pyramids itself. So I think, you know, the bottom line is big media right now is looking to distract as much as possible from work of, you know, people like myself who've been dedicated to this for years. And you'll hear everyone talk about this as, oh, it's only been happening in 2012 or, you know, all this hype going on. It's all very distractive. And I think that, you know, a lot of people are getting onto the truth and looking into the deeper connections that exist. And I think, too, the research into archaeoacoustics and the ancient sites is also progressing, and people are identifying audible effects in these places. But I don't think there's anyone who's been talking about these booming sounds being heard or recorded at these sacred sites. And, of course, that's been my personal experience, is that, you know, it happened when I went to Machu Picchu and had amazing experiences in Peru at different temple sites and in Cusco at Sacsayhuaman Temple and above there hiking. And for me, it was very obvious that these places and the stones in these places were placed where they were to resonate with those sounds. So I think that the world is at a point where we're waking up to the fact that it's not only the audible sounds that are being recorded, like people are literally playing giant stones like at Cairns and possibly Stonehenge. They're saying that these stones were played with other stones and the mechanical impact of smacking a hammer stone onto these larger megaliths would produce audible ringing that would be done at different sites simultaneously. So I think people are cluing into the fact globally that there is an acoustic connection, and I think the Native American prophecies really tell it very clearly when they say, for example, the Hopi prophecy tells us that the signs will be heard and things that cannot be seen will be felt. This is what they're speaking about. These are ominous to those people who have not heard the ancient knowledge. But to those of us who have heard the ancient knowledge, we were waiting for these signs, and now that we see them, we understand them in a way that allows us to connect that to the deeper positive changes and the coming of the new world that's described in the ancient teaching. And I'm, you know, excited to be giving the information which brings this out of the fear place where people on the, you know, YouTube are being sensational about it, and bring it into the realm of science and into the realm of human healing and human, you know, self-awareness and knowledge.
Absolutely. Let's listen to a few more here. We heard the one from Ukraine, obviously. And again, millions of people out there have listened to many of these sounds now. Let's play one from Chicago. And again, this is now forwarding them back into January of this year, about 2 weeks into it. Now, that one is almost identical to the Ukrainian one, and again, this is much further ahead. And again, the question is then, is it someone who's picked up on the audio, or is it, again, the same sound that is being heard for whatever reason? If we go to the Czech Republic now a little bit, you're going to hear a little bit of a different sound. This is, again, also in January 2012, and this is more of a larger kind of feedback sound compared to the screeching sounds that we've heard earlier from Ukraine. It almost sounds like some construction sound there, a huge rumble that has been pitch shifted down or something like that. But let's listen to this feedback one from the Czech Republic. There we go. That's that one. It's pretty interesting. That means that they're somewhat different. And again, I just want to emphasize that some of these are much longer, of course, and I've just edited some of them down. The majority of these are up on YouTube, of course. You can just search for Strange Sound and some of the links that we're going to add to this program as well if you want to listen to the whole clip, of course. But that's a little bit of a different one, Alex. Could you hear that okay from your end over there?
Yeah, definitely. And it does seem to be in the same class, but certainly different recording, different intonation to it. But that kind of scraping, rasping, repetitive, it's almost like there's a mixing of multiple frequencies in all of them to create that. Not very easily replicated. So probably this would be done more easily by copying or altering previously recorded sounds that were authentic. So certainly at the root of this is authentic stuff, but, you know, this can be taken anywhere on YouTube. As if you type in, you know, any of this paranormal stuff on YouTube, you're going to get, you know, a bunch of mudslinging and stuff that's not true science or not believable or fake. And, you know, there was that stuff about the caves where people said in Tibet there were cave recordings of monks in the caves or something, and, you know, the monks would go silent and there would be some kind of response coming in. These recordings have been falsified, and those were, in fact, the Voyager missions recordings of some of the planetary sounds shifted to the audible range.
Yeah.
So this has certainly been an area of disinformation for a long time, but the fact is it's happening all over the world, and there is a reality behind it, and it's growing. And I've been able to show that it's connected with the occurrence of spontaneous fires, and in fact, those fires can be linked to the inaudible, deep, deep, low-frequency sound source. So I think those connections are the ones that are really unfakeable, because when people have their homes destroyed all over the world, I've been recording on my Time Cycle page, those kinds of events are something the police are involved in and are not falsifiable. So, you know, there's a lot more tangible evidence that leads us to draw the conclusion that these sounds are real, they are changing our reality, and there are more dramatic things in store for the future in these places where this is happening.
Exactly. The point here is that there is a real phenomena underneath all of this, whether or not this latest incarnation, if you will, of these mysterious sounds and weird effects, if you will, are genuine or not. But let's listen to a few more in a row here. We're going to begin in Alberta, Canada. This is one where those who were out cutting, you know, some logs, logging or whatever, heard. And it's rather very, very similar to the one in Ukraine. And I think it's the identical one. We'll check that out later, because there is one sound in there that you can kind of recognize. There's some other people who have analyzed this pretty well on YouTube as well. But let's listen to a few in a row, beginning with the one from Alberta. Here we go.
Thank you.
There we go. Now we're moving on to Budapest in Hungary. This is a little different, this one too. Switch over to a third one here, kind of going back to a similar sound. This is from Costa Rica, also January 2012. All right, there we go. What's funny about this to me, Alex, too, is it sounds almost like someone have been trying to replicate a sound out of, I don't know, War of the Worlds, the latest incarnation of that movie, very similar. There's another one called Cloverfield a while back, and some have said, I haven't seen the movie Red State myself, but some have said apparently there's a sound like that in there as well. And now that's pretty interesting because I want to touch upon something you mentioned before. If this is an elite faction was doing this in some way, actually beaming out or sending out the real sound into certain areas around the world. It's almost like they want to, if this is the case, or is this connected with the, you know, you've heard the stories, Alex, about the fake alien invasion kind of ramping up to something big. Some have even said it's a movie premiere that's going to happen soon, and this is a way for them to help it go viral, basically a marketing scheme. But what do you think, Alex?
Well, certainly, these are attack mechanisms. When I speak about them from hard platforms, these are to cause earthquake events. So I would say, you know, people have also said HARP is to paint advertisements in the atmosphere to create auroras and have like a forward sign or something up there. You know, that is, I think, you know, part of the cover. And these are certainly, used to take over places like Haiti covertly. So, you know, there are definitely, resonance is a term that has to be used really because there are so many factors involved here. But as far as anyone purposefully being interested in producing these sounds, I would say it has to be for a much darker purpose than simply advertising or pumping up a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the, you know, that does account for some of the, you know, the faked YouTube videos, which I think could be, you know, agencies putting muck out there and wasting people's time, because just like if you go to type in any, you know, any significant search that you might want, like there's no, you can't do any science on YouTube. You can't like find anyone who's giving any of the facts involved that would need to be given to take it seriously, you know. So this is kind of the muck that we slog through when we try to bypass media and get some real information from average people. You never know. And that's why I like to apply physics to it, to be able to say, look at patterns over time and things that are not too fakeable, because no one makes a lifelong career out of it. This is obviously opportunists at the beginning of the year 2012, or, you know, religious fanatics, or all kinds of different groups who have interest in mucking up the waters. But it's certainly going to pan out, you know, and time will tell. It's a fascinating time to see. I think a lot of people were expecting government crashes, and, you know, we have a lot of disaster capitalists out there who are selling products and telling everyone to, you know, be in fear. I think certainly what's going on right now is people are waking up to the reality that, you know, the dollar is going to be pushed as long as it's convenient, and that time has not come where it's inconvenient. So China is still supporting the dollar, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens in this coming year and what, you know, what positive change does unfold, because the negative changes to me do not seem to be overtaking the planet. The Fukushima event is certainly a dire disaster, which we all need to be eating spirulina to deal with that. And I recommend everyone look into the health benefits of spirulina, regardless of being conscious of the radiation dangers, because it's a wonderful food. But I think it's an amazing time for everyone to really think about what's happening and what changes in our reality need to be further understood and and listen for.
Absolutely. Spirulina is a really good remedy. We had an article about that up on the site a while back as well, as this algae really powerful stuff. There's other ways people can go about this as to even natural sea salt and baking soda, actually, is taking, a bath, basically, in this solution. But I want to comb through three more clips here and then just try to get to the similarities one, and then obviously moving on to the noise that you've been following, or one of these thumps, basically, that you have a clip of back in, this is 2001 in Seattle, this was recorded. We're going to get to that as well here. But again, and just for the sake of those who haven't heard some of these noises before, I want to point out the similarities here as well. So let's go through three more, and we're going to begin now with a different one here in Canada. And again, January 2012, the rest of these are from this month, this year here. So here we go. We're moving on to Poland. And this particular one is just straight out in the forest, pretty much nowhere if you look at the video, and some are like over cities, so it's a little bit different too. Here's one from Edmonton now in Canada. There we go. There's nine examples, basically, of different places around the world. A lot of them are from Canada, though, obviously. But in your view, Alex, do you think that if this is solar-related, if we compare it to your clip that we're going to play here later, but with this weird kind of thump, this is almost a sound that seemed to have been felt as well. Could this sound we've listened to, the other clips here previously, could they be something produced by solar activity? What do you make of it?
Definitely, I think so. And the bottom line is that CNN has acknowledged that the brown dwarf twin of our sun, that we're in a binary star system, and that missing component to our system is now being identified. And I think that that is a major factor that contributes to the prophecy that ancients left for us because of their knowledge of events. And I think that the astronomy of ancient people really goes to explain that the origin of these sounds are directly tied with the changes that are ascribed to this star. And the Hopi specifically say that the red, small red star will appear in our heavens very close to us, and they call this star the purifier. So I would say these sounds can be likened to the sounds of purification. It's almost like the earth is a giant singing bowl, and it's being placed. You know, the sun is playing the instrument of our planet, and that planet is resonating in the instrument of our eardrums and in our pineal gland, in our third eye. I think this is the awakening and the activation that our temples are involved in, and I think it's definitely, turning heads, and people will be leaving these areas, and people will be thronging to these areas, depending on your perception of what's going on here. And I think that in my experience, I'm excited for the people who used to come to visit me in Lamana and the energy that we build here, the resonance that's building, because people are discovering the qualities of this area. And I think there are many factors converging in these places, as well as with UFO sightings, and the whole hotspot phenomenon is an electromagnetic phenomenon that have to do with these sounds, as well as the conversion of these sounds into an electromagnetic field by the bedrock of the area, as well as craft that are in the atmosphere above these areas. So it's a fascinating connection that's really leading us towards, I think, you know, a future that involves multidimensional reality and an awareness of that.
Is there anything in your view that seems to indicate that these sounds might be very, to the point of being extremely localized in one small area, if you can put it that way? Obviously, we know that, again, if they're real, that means that the camera is picking up those we've been listening to so far, these examples that we played, that is. Because if we look at the original video to go along with audio from Ukraine, we can see that the majority of people are, the person who's filming this, recording this, is zooming in on a few people walking down the street, and it seems like the majority of people are not aware. People are not coming out of their apartments, going out to the balconies, looking around, or even down the street, looking up in the sky. And one thing that occurred to me then is could there be an effect basically with that is causing very, very localized sound? We know that the military has this type of technology. There have been these ads recently that have been actually done in this way, where basically your membrane of your ear, or even actually voice-to-skull technology, I think it's called, where you can have a very, very small area where you direct the sound, even these with microwaves and other things. It's a technology, basically. You can cause people to hear something in a radius of maybe 1 meter, and you can project the sound from hundreds and hundreds of meters or feet away. Have you heard about that, Alex? And if so, could this be a very, very localized sound?
Yes, I think that's part of it. Although when you go into a low frequency that's that low, I think necessarily you'd be radiating an area that's probably hundreds of meters across, let's say.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So I think for the low, low sounds, that's probably less likely, although it is playing a role, because sounds that low you would expect to hear in many places, but the fact is the waves are so long that they only have certain convergence points at certain hotspots, and that's what I've been measuring around the planet. But I do think, too, that the intensity of the sound does change rapidly. They can be heard in a wide area, but there is, the temples specifically around the world, I believe, were built at exact focal points where that sound was possibly at those times even measured. They would use instruments to measure where the focal point was and then build right there. And they might, do the geopositioning study in comparison to that to make sure they have the right geoposition.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's definitely acoustic focusing is key to so many of the technologies that are opening, new doors for quantum future applications that we see, in our skies. We see craft above us doing things, taking 90-degree angles at high speeds, doing amazing things, shooting off in the blink of an eye or disappearing on the spot. Now, these things are now being understood because of technologies like infrared cameras, where we can see that when they blink out on the spot, they're actually shifting their light into the infrared spectrum so that we can't visibly see them, but the object can still be there. So I think human technologies are right at the point of being able to understand the interface of all these interdimensional forces. And I think the locality of it is part of what's so amazing about the pyramid structures when, acoustic scientists study the Mayan temples, for example. They know that there are places that are where circular stones, for example, are placed where you're supposed to go stand on that stone, and that are thought to have been ritual or simply symbolic. But in fact, the acoustics focuses sound onto the place where that stone is marking a location to receive those sounds. So I think it's ancient architecture is really an amazing clue that the more we know about ancient architecture and the pyramids, the more we can understand about what's being measured and heard in these other recordings of low-frequency sound.
Mm. Of course, you had a sighting yourself here just about a week ago now, that I want to ask you about later. Plasma craft, you photographed it. We're definitely going to talk about that. It's very, very interesting. Let me just get to some of these other comparison clip here, and then I want to move on to the thump. that back from 2001, because this is distinctly different than, and this is probably from solar activity. But if we go back to the clips that we listened to about nine, and at least four of these have the same distinct, it's a kind of a bird noise or something in there, and I've just cut that small portion out, so it's just four of these now in a row with this distinct bird noise. But that indicates, obviously, that that they're related. It's the same sound, pretty much, that is being either then broadcasted or we hear the same effect of the sound. So let me play that. There's four different ones there. It goes kind of quick. Let me play it one more time so you guys can hear it. The first one is from Ukraine, and then consequently there's three other clips from three other places then. But you have that same kind of pitch and same kind of bird noise. Let's play that one more time. So that's pretty weird. That's pretty weird. It indicates that it's either then the same exact sound, the same effect, or again the same audio, if indeed many of these other ones are kind of copycat effects, if you will. But so that's something to keep in mind when you every time you hear something new or a new video gets uploaded with new sounds, that you can look for similarities between them, of course. And again, it doesn't necessarily disqualify them as such. As we mentioned, this might actually be because we have the same identical sound being broadcasted or the same type of effect, whatever it is that this actually is emanating from, can be heard in it. But Alex, let's move on to the thump noise now back in 2001 in Seattle. I'll play it, and then you can mention what you want about the clip, because there's a news, report in all of this as well included, this report on. So let's cue that up and play that, the thump.
The Earth is causing a strange banging sound in West Seattle. Got a mystery on our hands this morning. King 5's Arturo Santiago is playing detective for us near Alki Point. Okay, Arturo, we've heard plumbing, air in the water line, Navy testing, earthquakes. What else have you come up with?
Well, we've also heard possible gunshots, but obviously nothing of that sort going on. But people were unnerved by this a little bit because of the strange sound that was coming from the ground. And we are pretty much at the nexus of where all this was taking place, or where it seemed to be coming from the loudest.
The thumping noise you're hearing has not been amplified or modified. But it is loud enough and has the ground vibrating enough to have people concerned and saying, what is that?
There's that vibration. You can feel it. It just sounds like fireworks reverberating. And then it sounds like a band playing. And just sometimes rhythmic, sometimes not.
Yeah, just dum, dum, dum.
A number of departments have been trying to figure out what the noise is and where it's coming from. The Water Department, Seattle City Engineers, Puget Sound Energy, none would go on camera to offer any kind of an explanation. And until it is figured out, residents have no choice but to listen to it.
I mean, feel it. This is like bizarre. I have no idea what it could be.
Residents in the area tell me the thumping stopped at around 1 o'clock early this morning. Now, there are a couple of working theories that are going on here. Seattle and city engineers say that it's not one of their sewer lines. Also, you were talking to Rebecca Stevenson about this being possibly weather-related, but no official word.
All right, there you have it. Interesting stuff. This is distinctly different, though, as we mentioned. This is more of a thump. The people who are reporting this can feel the vibration of it. 2001, the previous solar maximum. Connections there, Alex.
Yeah, that's what stuck out to me about that date. Actually, this was, I've been looking at the article, the original here. I think I misinformed you. I might have said 2001. It's actually the 11th to 12th of October 2003 this was recorded.
And that was one of the biggest biggest X-class flares ever recorded back in 2003, November, yeah?
There you go. So this is definitely showing us a connection with the sun. And as well, it's very interesting because this is occurring in a city called Seattle, which is a name that comes from the Native American tradition there. So the other interesting thing is that the connection I draw in my writing and on the website when I deal with this article, with this event, is that the drumming literally sounds like the Native American heartbeat drumming, ceremonial drumming, that was used to stimulate certain effects of consciousness. And I think that this same sound at 1.45 hertz is what the Great Pyramid in Egypt was putting out. And I can draw that connection because specifically the base length of the Great Pyramid is 765 feet in length, and that corresponds to that 1.45 hertz beat. And there's a further connection which is fascinating because this frequency was used both by the pyramid builders and by the Native American tradition as a therapy for dissonant consciousness, and it basically synchronizes the hemispheres of the brain into matching the heartbeat frequency, which is that low heartbeat drumming stimulates. It's called the trithalamic entrainment format, and that was identified by Ronald Destruel in New York, who was helping synchronize the consciousness for Alzheimer's and Parkinson's patients who were able to enhance their function, to lose their tremors to a certain degree, and to be able to function and walk and have a more productive life in the presence of this sound. So I think it has a profound effect on consciousness, which, once it becomes a permanent thing in these places, which is what I'm presenting about the 2012 change, then this may, in fact, lead to some of the flowering of human consciousness that's spoken of in the ancient tradition.
Absolutely. So do you think we can expect them to these, both the sounds, but even other effects, to carry on, continue, and being on the increase? Because to me, Alex, it feels like this thing is just getting started. Again, going back to the idea of incorporating all different ideas into this, both man-made, both from the point of view of having a major, psychological warfare, campaign being raged against humanity, at the same time as we have these very, very positive changes, energetical changes, and these standing waves effect that you've been talking about for such a long time. We have kind of all of this happening at the same time. So what I'm seeing anyway is an increase. What about you, Alex?
Yeah, I think we can see a crescendo both with the tectonic event and with the solar flare event. And in between those, we have the atmospheric plasma events, which, we have auroras being lit up by these CMEs. So I think it's like, a cosmic revelation in its, in its exact term. I mean, we're seeing the movement of energy that we have not seen before. And we've seen, dramatic things which scientists never expected. And this will continue. And I think we're reaching a crescendo where soon our instruments will not be, they're not calibrated to measure them. I think, the things, the satellites looking at the sun are not designed to handle the solar energies that will be issuing forth in the coming times. So I think the next several months will be really interesting to watch. And, of course, we're going to have a period of quieting as well. I think this could, there could be a lull somewhere here. And certainly the luminosity of the sun is one of the things that the ancient people say may go away. The sun may be dark. The visible sun we have today may go dark on us. And the Mayan tradition speaks about this. And I think the Bible as well has a reference to this, although I'm no scholar in that field. But it's amazing definitely to see these enigmatic statements of ancient people finding a new meaning in these times.
Coming alive in that sense. Or are you talking about a temporary, like the, 3-day blackout, if you will, of the sun that we've heard about, or are you talking about a longer extended period of the sun dimming and eventually, going dark?
Well, certainly that's what's spoken of. I think there's a period of 72 or more hours where we, or less, that's been spoken of, and the Mayans speak of this as a regular cyclical event, which they've tracked, and this is an astronomical known to them. Of course, this may have a period preceding it of extremely large or enlarged sunspots, and we see coronal holes where the CMEs are ejected. So there are certainly the coronal sheath around the sun is going to be, according to this to the Native American tradition is going to be lessening to the point where it's not visible and there's no radiation from the sun. So I'm very interested to think about this and wonder, will the sun have all of a sudden go dark, or will there be a progression of sunspots that get larger and larger, swallowing up eventually the whole surface? You know, that possibility is intriguing, and I think you're going to be witnessing some amazing things here, whatever scenario does play out.
Well, Alex, wouldn't that imply that if the sun operates the way we think it does, we might get visually darkness from the sun, but if it would be covered to the point of so many sunspots that it basically goes dark, that would mean we would have a tremendous amount of X-ray radiation coming out of the sun at that point, maybe to the point of being transformative, if you know what I mean. What do you think?
I do think it's possible, and I do feel like the fears of this being lethal are unjustified, because I don't believe that the planetary changes will involve the decimation of all life on Earth. So that's, I think, an extreme claim, which, you know, when I look at nature, has a purpose. It's leading us somewhere. And I think we're all here to see something for a reason. Even if our response to this is fear and we don't make good decisions that keep us around, I believe in reincarnation. I believe that we're all supposed to see this and come back to bring those experiences into our next life. You know, perhaps those of us who don't make it through these changes are going to be imbued with a sense, a deeper sense, that they must take care of their environment, because in their previous life, in the end of, you know, this life, they underwent, they were part of a catastrophe, a calamity. And that, you know, those people who go through that experience in a city may have fear of cities in the future and may be born into nature and have a real fear of cities because of that experience of theirs. And that may be important towards steering humanity away from dangerous false technology. So, you know, I see this from a far different perspective than the average person because of my belief in reincarnation, which is, you know, very little belief, in fact, and mostly scientific knowledge, because I study this phenomenon. So I think the changes are really profound regardless of whether we live through them or not, and that the, you know, cycles on our planet are, you know, designed for our awareness and for our learning curve. And that curve is definitely steepening right now.
That's right. Alex, obviously we don't have the best line here to you today down in Ecuador, but now when we have you on the line, we should definitely take the opportunity to discuss some of your latest material that you've posted on humanresonance.org as we begin to leave this kind of exciting area of these very strange sounds that we've been talking about here. But I'd like to begin with the Vietnam story. Fascinating. This began in December, again, at the time of the sun picking up, if you will, leading up to just a couple of weeks ago now. Lastly, tell us about this. What's been happening in Vietnam?
Well, it's fascinating. I've been watching it from afar and, you know, sending as much energy for that part of the world as I can consciously, and in my website, of course, sending information. I don't know how quickly this will catch on, but I think people need to realize that, well, I'll summarize what's happening. There are vehicles igniting on fire. There are literally hundreds of fires across Hanoi, Vietnam, and as well as other parts of Vietnam throughout the, in that whole band, really, of energy that is almost at the same distance from the Great Pyramid as the Angkor Wat Temple in Cambodia, which is 19.1% of the Earth's circumference distance from Giza. So this whole area is being affected by fires that are not only igniting motorcycles, but automobiles of all kinds, minibuses. People are seeing fires not in the engine blocks where you might expect it from their explosive reaction in the engine, but it's on the places where metal is in contact with plastics, and for some reason the metal is superheating and igniting the plastic. Well, that reason, I believe, is the same underlying reason why the Angkor Wat Temple was geopositioned where it is. And so for me, this is a fascinating cluster of events, but this cluster has also been happening in Los Angeles. And there, the police forces have been accusing everyone of arson, and there have been now enough cases where in L.A. there are people who are saying, this is not arson, this happened in my own garage. And there's video now from CBS covering side view mirrors that have been melted in people's garages. So this is certainly not the a problem with arson increasing, you know, 8,000% over the course of a week. This is solar flare activity igniting parts of Vietnam and parts of Los Angeles and all these other locations that I've tracked on my site. And literally, these spontaneous fires would be, you know, happening once every few months. I'd find something in the news when I started this work in 2006 on the website and the time site. And now it's occurring multiple times per day in multiple places around the world. So, and obviously the stories that, the news stories that get on the web are a small portion of what's actually going on. So I think this has, our reality is shifting. We are now in the shift. The magnetic field of our planet is in motion, and we know that. And it's going to be very interesting to track this continued activity and try to help protect people.
So, yeah, I read those a few of those stories from coming out from L.A. as well. They've been chasing some German guy there, I think, a German national, and they're trying to blame it on him, of course. But that's interesting. Do you know if it's a similar scenario, if you will, then in L.A., where the plastic of the cars have caught on fire and not the metal itself? Or do you have any details about
that? It's actually the interface. The metal is superheating and causing the plastic in contact with it to ignite. So, for example, in the side view mirror, the metal, you know, the support structures underneath the plastic are heating. And we've got the same scenario happening on a bumper of a car in a story that I'll be posting in the next coming week. There's another event of a side mirror. I can't remember what part of the United States it was, but police were called because the side mirror was ignited on the roadside. So there's definitely an increasing occurrence of spontaneous fires. And we have this cruise ship that had an electrical surge and its navigation went off and it crashed off the coast of Tuscany, Italy.
Yeah.
And we also have exploding iPhones happening in airplanes over Australia, in people's homes in Brazil. These events are now becoming an everyday occurrence. And on my website, I really hope to link them up so that people see what's going on here. This is something we need to know about.
Absolutely fascinating. We're going to have this link to the Vietnam stories up there, and it's a total of 1, 2, 3, 4, if not even 5, actually, at this point as well, or more, throughout the last couple of months here when this has been unfolding, and then we have the stuff in L.A. happening. So head on over to humanresonance.org and check out some of these articles. Now, Alex, we have to talk about your sighting here in conclusion, obviously, a sighting over Ecuador here. Give us some of the background first and tell us what happened.
Sure. Well, I've been in La Mana now for over a year, and it has been something we haven't focused on too much. You know, I've had a lot more interactions with balls of light and orbs at our springs here, and I've photographed those and put them on a page, which is on the orb on the main menu. You can click on that and have a look at my pictures. Those experiences have been so intimate and fascinating for us that we really haven't been trying to document all the aerial plasma activity. But there are many plasma ships that are flying around these parts, and we have a lot of low fog here. It's a kind of cloud mist always over us, and most of the time. And these objects that I was able to photograph on the 23rd and 24th, I believe, were fascinating. They were very low. And there were no stars visible because of the cloud cover, so it was very unambiguous. These were not looking like stars. They were much more bright and low. And the object was also close enough where you could visibly see it bouncing up and down and changing colors. And so in the images I've obtained, you can see the object isn't still, and these are half-second exposures, so the object is bouncing around. But what was most fascinating was that to the left and right of the craft, we saw in the photographs small blue lights which were not bouncing around.
Hmm.
And these, I believe, are plasma probes, smaller objects associated with the craft that were not, steadying themselves electromagnetically and not bouncing around like a larger craft. So in the pictures, if I was wobbling the camera, you would have seen the blue plasma orbs as well bouncing in the same direction as the larger object, and that does not take place. So the images are pretty fascinating, and I encourage people to have a look, but they're not unique. There are hundreds of people out there every week who shoot these things, and some of them have even more bright colors than I've been able to obtain in images that are on the site. But do have a look. It's quite characteristic, I think, of what a lot of people are noticing around the world, and hopefully there'll be more photos and more updates coming up with some of the other objects that we're filming here. It's a pretty exciting time.
Very much so. Would you say that the object that you were witnessing here was moving fast, and hence that's why we're seeing the blur effect, if you will, of the camera exposure time, or was this the actual shape of the thing that you were witnessing, Alex?
It was a circular object that seemed like a disc that was facing us in the sky on its side, a lens shape, and it was bouncing up and down. And so the movement, you see a trail, a plasma trail behind the object, and some witnesses have actually recorded video of that. But this object was actually just, to the eye, was bouncing around in a simple circular shape. So the half-second exposures just, gave you the trail, but that's not actually what we saw at the time. But certainly the color shifts are very obvious in the trail, as well as the change in some of the images from red and orange all the way to green and blue. So it was definitely an eye catcher. But some of the videos you see coming out on YouTube right now are just spectacular. I've seen some things from Brazil. I mean, there's things popping up from all over the world that are just remarkable. And I think it's here. The whole experience that we're getting is that there's no government that needs to inform us. We can see them ourselves. There's no middleman necessary. But these experiences with the sounds, the UFOs, and possibly the orbs in many people's faces are ones that bypass any third-party, approval. And so I think that's what we're moving into this time right now, is where people look into their own, understand their own consciousness to explain what's going on around them, and they stop accepting or defaulting at, government-given conclusions.
How far away would you estimate that the object was from you when you first saw it?
Well, I'd say a mile and a half or so. And it dimmed down. Part of what I write about in the article was that I have a laser pen that I was focusing on the object after reading about others doing this and getting interactive results. And it was quite interesting because the object did seem to move away from us and lower, so we could not see it because it was above the mountain from our perspective. So it would hide behind the trees and dim down once I had shined a laser light at it. So it's something I don't want everyone running out buying high-powered lasers and messing with UFOs, because that's not safe. But certainly low-powered. I had a 5-milliwatt laser, and it was definitely something that the craft responded to and seemed to go away. It might have been 2 or 3 miles away at that point.
Well, this seems to be the case, in some of these instances when you flash with the laser towards it or at it, it sometimes seems to respond back. I've seen a number of these examples, actually. That's fascinating. Did the same happen to you?
It totally did. And I've had the same experience from simple telepathic directed thoughts at the craft, where I was looking for an interaction. I've had both responses where the craft shied away, as it did in this case, and pretended, didn't jerk away or run away, but, just basically took its energy further away. And the same has been true where I've had, I've basically sent thoughts of greeting and welcome and wanting more communication, and the ship will brighten up and come towards me as well. I've had that happen with a group of friends in California on the coast there, and we were camping on the beach one day. So it's fascinating to interact with these objects, and it's kind of like their acknowledgement that we're ready for that. And I think it's happening more and more around the world, where normally they would be in passive roles of observation and possibly observing from other dimensions. And then now they are giving off light and being visible in our dimension and giving off visible light, and are also more able to interact because of our own awareness being higher, that fear is not the only response they get, you know?
Yeah, it's all the same up at James Gilliland, he said he ranch up in Washington State, close to Mount Adams there. I didn't see anything personally, per se, when we were there, but definitely seen videos of it, and this response thing is fascinating. Now, just one more question on this, then. Did you just spot it all of a sudden, or did it suddenly just appear kind of out of the clear blue sky? It was dark at that time, of course, but... did you just pop up and you just saw it? And how did it go out as well? Tell us about that.
Well, it went out by fading away and kind of receding below our tree line, but still, you know, brightly glowing. But it popped, I think I just noticed it out the window at dusk. And I think it's happened several times where it simply, you know, we have big windows here and we certainly love our sunsets and we're obviously out a bunch checking everything out. But... I think we see them probably two or three nights a week, and you know, when we have favorable conditions and our interest is there, they generally are there, and they're generally there before we go to look. So I think, you know, it's hard to say whether they appear for us to interact with or whether it's a byproduct of some other activities they're involved in, but either way, we do interact with them. So it's something I look forward to, you know, increasing the level and the intensity of the interaction, you know, slowly, so that my friends are, who may be having more fear than I have, can handle that, because I think it's a great group experience where you have other people to share it with and you don't think you're going crazy.
Absolutely. Again, just to reemphasize that point, it's happening all over the world. I saw them myself when we were in North Carolina, the Brown Mountain Lights. Fascinating. It's happening in Norway at Hestdalen, the Marfa Lights in Texas. We have another light festival in Thailand where they have the same phenomena happening. So again, it's happening worldwide, and again, apparently on the increase. Alex, we'll see how things develop here in the next few months. Of course, things have been exciting even so far, just not even going through January yet of 2012. But as we said last time with you as well, we'll keep on watching, as you say, and see how things, you know, develop. So much more to say. But I want to give a shout-out, obviously, again here before we let you go for this time, to your website, humanresonance.org. That's where people can find more of this type of material. You have your books up there. You have audio clips. You have articles. You have analysis of many of the stories that we've been talking about and so forth. Is there anything else now you'd like to mention about the website material on there, or maybe something else pertaining to your activities down in Ecuador, Alex?
Well, I'm on the verge of some major announcements, and we've had some wonderful scientific experimental success with our conversions and the alchemy work we've been up to. So I look forward to giving everyone some definitive information about that, and we want to go public with our discoveries, which are pretty fascinating. So I just want to encourage everyone to keep visiting the website and come on back again to learn more about these new changes and technologies that are available to us.
Absolutely. I want to have you back, by the way, Alex, as we said before, and talk more about that. We're just, as you said, awaiting some of the analysis and some of the more you know, nuts and bolts type of thing, the application of all this, of course, how it has went. But let's definitely stay in contact about that, because that's a really fascinating area, and we definitely need to talk more about that. But in the meantime, of course, Alex, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for staying with us here on the cell phone. As I mentioned before, not the best connection, but we're going to give you a little break from the from the radiation there. So in the meantime, keep up the great work. Nice to talk to you again, and have a great time down in Ecuador, Alex.
Oh, thank you so much for being able to have this opportunity to explain some of the type that people are hearing with the sounds, and I hope that this can lead people into deeper knowledge of our past and these changes in a consciousness level. So I hope to talk with you more about that soon. Thank you.
Red Eyes Radio will be back before you know it with Carl Munk, Bob Frisell, Asharia S., Mark Passio, Anthony Peak, Andrew Goff, Dr. Robert Verkirk, Joseph Atville, Sonia Barrett, Håkan Blomqvist, Paul Levy, and Dean Clifford. Check out our members area, get full access to Red Eyes Radio, our entire archives going back to 2006. RedEyesCreations.com We'll talk more soon. This is Henrik. Take good care of yourself. Stay sharp. And don't forget to have fun.